to theticket.com and sign up now for the 6th annual One Club Tournament, April 10th at Westridge Golf Club in McKinney. From Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
9:12 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. I'm Big Dick, and this is the P1 Wild Ass Circus broadcasting live from Hooters in Mesquite, located at 635 and Town East Boulevard, where we broadcast each and every Tuesday night. And all the waitresses are wearing black tonight. I wonder if it's like dental assistants where they call each other during the day and coordinate the outfits. Because last time it was white, you know, with the orange.
They must have a schedule.
I think they send out a memo to all the Hooters.
Maybe so. And then maybe they occasionally work in the third jersey, you know, with the fallopian tube design like the stars.
Yeah.
All right. Our P1 guest hosts are here. We will introduce you to them here in a moment. But a little while ago, Rowdy Hate and Walt came up to the studio, and we made telephonic contact with blues guitar legend B.B. King.
Let's welcome to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, right now, the legendary blues guitarist, Mr. B.B. King. Hello, B.B.
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, and glad to have you on. Myself and Rowdy Hate and Walt, looking forward to talking with you here for a few minutes. Now, you are going to be performing at McFarland Auditorium on the SMU campus Wednesday night, and there are limited tickets still available for that. Now, BB, I've seen you a number of times, although it's been a little while since I've been able to see you live. And one thing that's always stuck in my mind is a statistic I heard about you touring one time, and it went something along the lines of you had been on the road an average of 250 days a year since sometime in the late 50s or something. Now, I don't know if you've slowed down any lately, but how true is that, and how much of the year do you spend on the road?
Oh, that part is true. I've averaged about 240 to 250 concerts per year. 1955, I did 342 one-nighters. I haven't did that many again because I was young and didn't pay much attention, but yes, and the latter part of your question, I'm getting old now, so I'm cutting down. I'm 78 years old, and I think last year I averaged about 200 concerts.
So you're cutting down to 200 shows, Mr. King?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cutting back there, B.B.
Yeah.
Now, what's the touring operation these days? Do you go by plane, or do you have guys in buses?
No, most of
them
are by bus. Mm-hmm. Planes have gotten to be a problem now because, you know, the problems we've had. So now they have to do so much checking, and as they do that, it's sort of a problem. They've taken off everything except my underwear sometimes. And I don't enjoy it so much.
Oh, who does? B.B. King joining us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Now, with all that touring and basically making a life of that on the road since the 50s, like you said, B.B., how does that play with family, with kids
That's
and
not
grandkids?
Good. I've been married twice and divorced twice, so it doesn't play good with a family life. My kids, though, today are all grown up. I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I guess when it was, it was. But today at 78, I figured I'd wait till about 95. Then I'll buy me a plot where I'm going to be buried and marry again. And the lady doesn't do right or do like I think she should. I just go on over there and get in it and the grave and tell her to bye-bye.
Well, that sounds like a retirement plan, B.B. B.B. King at McFarland Auditorium Wednesday night. Limited tickets still available. And you check out his website, bbking.com. Now, we talked about all the one-nighters you've played throughout your life, B.B. Have you ever done stints in, like, Vegas or Branson or that sort of thing? Or have you always preferred the one-nighters?
No. We used to. Vegas doesn't do that much anymore. I think the last two or three years, I played it last year. I played it nearly every year in the last 10 years, and usually 2 to 3 days. I think my last 2 or 3 times were there for 3 days. I was at the Stardust. And it was 3 days at the Wayne Newton Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, with the exception of, shall we say, certain shows they have, like shows that stay there, but people coming in, you're just never there more than That's the policy now. Never more than 2 or 3 days.
BB, blues music has had a really interesting lineage throughout pretty much the 20th century in its entirety. And I was wondering if you could clue a few people into exactly the way that the popularity of blues has ebbed and flowed, for those who may not know, where, you know, for the first half of the century, it was a very, very prevalent music, and then with rock and roll and the British invasion, it kind of took a back seat for a while, and then it seemed like some of those same artists that benefited from the British invasion kind of revived it in the 70s and the 80s, and I was just curious as to your perspective on that.
Well, I disagree with the revival.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the super groups, like the rock and roll super groups, stopped playing it. When they stopped playing it, white America figured that it had stopped. But I ain't been no place. I've been right here.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Bland has been right here, little Milton, and many others have been right here. We never left. So it's just that I think white America and black America stopped hearing it by the super groups, and they thought that it wasn't being played, but it's been played all the time.
Now, Mr. King, this is Walt. A question that I have, that one thing that seems to bring you back into the public eye is when you do collaborations with people. You did the album with Eric Clapton. Are there any other plans to collaborate with anyone else, like Jeff Beck? Do I believe you just toured
Beck
with?
And I did. I carry out something called the Blues Fest. I've been doing it for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this past year, I had Jeff Beck. And, I've had many people. I've carried out a lot of young people, like you might have heard of Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I took him on his first tour. Same thing was with, Johnny Lang. I took him out on his first tour. So I haven't thought of doing that anymore right now, because I would like for people to think of B.B. King mm-hmm. a little too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I enjoy working with Jeff and many others, but I don't want them to think only of the people I work with.
Which you have an album out as of last year, is that correct? Reflections?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you did several covers, even one of your own. Which song was that?
A Mother's Love is one.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm trying to make to you is, I do it a lot of time to get records played, because I don't get records played. I enjoy working with the people, of course, but they'll play many of the people. In other words, when Eric and I, one of the best-selling records I've ever had since The Thrill Is Gone, had I did it by myself, and still don't. I don't get airplay.
B.B. King joining us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. B.B., you mentioned Bobby Bland a minute ago. Talk a little bit about your relationship with him, because when the two of you play a gig together, put out an album together, it really seems to be a special kind of show that is different from when the two of you play separately, because there's a lot of music involved, but there also seems to be a lot of real natural camaraderie on the stage.
Well, Bob and I have been friends since the late 40s, and good friends since then. And I'll tell you a little something, I promise you won't tell anybody.
Okay, I don't think anybody's listening.
We made two live CDs. One was called BB and Bobby Together for the First Time.
Yes.
And I think the other one was called Together Again. So we had a critic that wrote, and he said that whatever we were doing before we did B.B. King and Bobby Bland Together for the First Time, we should go back and start doing it, whether it was driving tractors or whatever we were doing, because that was nothing. And it went platinum. So I wrote him a letter and told him I hope he'd be the critic for my next CD.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just certain things some people like and some don't. And I think that's been the history of the blues. Some people like it, some don't.
BB, has your style, your personal style, changed over the years? Because I, from to my own ears, I think that I hear a more distinctive, not more distinctive, but a different kind of sound coming out of your early, and I'm talking like, you know, the 50s into the 60s, more of a different style than what you became known for later on in the 70s and on into the 80s. Am I on to anything
there? I'd feel pretty bad if it hadn't changed some.
Mm-hmm.
I do study, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do better, but a lot of the people criticize my playing, and they say I did better then, but they don't buy them, and they didn't promote them then.
Mm-hmm.
So my only consolation out of that, I guess, is that most of the things they didn't give me credit for that I produced myself.
Well,
all the other things, mostly with the exception of what Maxwell Davis and a few others did, was produced by B.B. King.
Well,
put together, that is, done the way I wanted them done.
Well, there is no question that your style has had a wide range of commercial appeal. And I would think I'm probably safe in saying that to the average music listener, I mean, maybe not necessarily somebody that's as big of a blues fan as just a music fan in general, you are probably the most recognizable name to those people whenever anyone brings up blues music. But what about some of the people who might be underrated? I'm just curious to know who you think might be the most underrated blues musician of all time.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I think most of them are always underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them. Most of the people that play blues, most are underrated because you don't hear them. They're not programmed like other type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I hear are playing something I wished I could play. So I'll still say what I said. I think most of them are underrated. We hear about Robert Johnson. We hear about, of course, Robert Johnson was a great player, but my favorite was Lonnie Johnson. And a Texan, another Texan called Lemon Jefferson.
Oh, yes, Blind Lemon Jefferson.
Blind Lemon Jefferson. That's another of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them, I think, have been treated. It's a white guy called Jimmy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first white blues players I heard.
The singing brakeman, is this who we're talking
That's
about?
That's the guy.
From Meridian, Mississippi?
That's him. And you know I'm from Mississippi and I always carry a little flag. I'm from Mississippi, y'all. I don't think he gets what he should have had.
Uh-huh. He does in Meridian, Mississippi. They still have Jimmy Rogers Day. I know that because my mom's from there. But you're right.
Oh, really?
Outside
of
there.
I'm glad to hear that, I'll tell you. I'm really glad to hear it because most of them, I don't think, are getting the praises that they should have.
B.B. King joining us on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. He's playing Wednesday night here in Dallas at McFarland Auditorium on the SMU campus. Limited tickets still available, and you can check out his website as well at bbking.com. Now, B.B., when we got you on the phone here, your helper told us that you were in your room downloading music to your iPod, and I got to tell you, I have to ask you, are you the only 78-year-old you know of that downloads music onto an iPod? Because I guarantee you, that would confuse my grandma.
Well, let me straighten a bit of this out.
Oh, okay.
I have bought through the years many, many LPs, as they used to be called, and CDs, and what I do since I got my MP3, I download them, the ones that don't come out on CD. So I don't download them off of the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I want everybody to understand that by my own. But I don't know anybody else that does what I'm doing, but I thought it was just stupid me.
Mr. King, that brings up a question that I was going to ask. As far as the music's put out through legal channels, how do you feel about the technology now, like the internet and whatever else to...
I don't think it's fair or right for anybody to download music off the radio, mm-hmm, and don't pay for it.
And that was my question, because the Apple has something called iTunes where you have to pay for the songs and all. Do you think it helps music like the blues if it's being paid for?
Well, it would be like you. If you were on the air, like, mm-hmm, you are, and somebody else download what you do and they play it later on, and you don't get nothing for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be right.
Yeah, I once heard, I once saw Bo Diddley play. This is a few years back, and he compared it to him coming over to my house and taking some chicken out of my refrigerator without asking.
That would be Bo.
Now, like I said, Mr. King.
But it makes sense. If you equate it with the music, yes. Yeah. I think that's right.
Now, BB, I haven't had a chance to see you in a couple of years, although I've seen you numerous times in the past. Do the horn players still wear the powder blue tuxedos?
I'm from the old school.
Yeah.
I like Benny Goodman.
Uh-huh.
Count Basie, Duke Ellington. They never did look like they just come off the streets when they went on stage.
Right.
I'm from that old school. I don't blame anybody else for not doing it, but me, I like that style. I want you or anyone, when you come in, to look and see we look like, we look different, I'll say it that way. I'm not against jeans and people that wear them.
Mm-hmm.
I wore overalls all my life before I left home, and I don't wear overalls today, but... if it's, you know, how can you say it? If it's just fashion for people to do that, fine. But me, I still like some parts of the old ways I like.
Well, and if you would like to see that, and I highly recommend it, especially if you've never gotten a chance to see B.B. King live. As I said, McFarland Auditorium Wednesday night, and here in a minute, we're going to give a couple of listeners some tickets for the show, BB. And I want to thank you so much for spending the time with us, and it was a real pleasure talking to you, and
yes.
Good luck with the show Wednesday night.
So.
Thank you.
All right, our pleasure.
Will you try to come out?
Yes, we will.
Yes.
I tell you, we will be on the air that night, but I might be able to make the last part of the set if I hurry over there.
I was on the radio for a short time from 49 to 55.
Really?
Back from 49 to 55. That's 19, of course.
Yes, yes.
But, that's where you got your name, isn't it?
But they still have something they call transcribe.
Uh-huh.
That's the word we used to use, you know, when you tape it.
Yes. Oh, you're thinking maybe we should tape ahead of time and come out to the show. Boy, that'd confuse anybody that saw me there that listens to my show, I tell you. That's not a bad idea.
I'm having fun with you. Nice talking to you.
Hey, it was our pleasure, BB, and we'll look forward to seeing you Wednesday night at McFarland Auditorium on the SMU campus.
Thanks for taking your time with me. Thank you.
Our pleasure. BB King, everybody. All right. Now, I alluded to the fact that we're going to give away some B.B. King tickets. Here's how we're going to do it. 214-787-1225 is the phone number. 214-787-1BALL. Be one of the first two callers with the correct answer to this question, and hopefully you were paying attention during the interview. How many times has B.B. King been married? Called Jeremy or Justin. And tell them how many times B.B. King has been married. All right, coming up next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus as we broadcast live from Hooters in Mesquite, we'll tell you not who's dropped out of the presidential race, but who is in, maybe to the surprise of some, maybe not nearly to the surprise of others. We discuss it next on the P1 Wild Ass Circus on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket live from Hooters in Mesquite.